Have you ever wondered how drones can help to develop climate-resilient agriculture? Do you know how remote sensors can help to protect rainforests? Or have you ever considered hiring a graphic designer online from Kenya? Welcome to Exploring Digital Spheres. This season is all about digital developments around the world. Follow our research team as they travel to 5 different countries to talk to experts from civil society, academia and the private sector. We will address issues relating to digitalization, sustainability, the future of entrepreneurship and work around the globe.
This episode brings us to Prizren, the second biggest city in the Republic of Kosovo, where we explore the spatial aspects of innovation. Not only is Kosovo the youngest country in Europe, having only declared its independence in 2008, it also has by far the youngest population in Europe. The average citizen is only 31 years old. However, the young republic is facing major economic challenges, with an unemployment rate of 20%, which is causing many young people to leave their country. Therefore, education and training programs are initiated throughout the country to train skilled workers and create new jobs. Great expectations are especially placed in the digital transformation of the country to foster the economic development. The Innovation and Training Park, ITP Prizren, is one such initiative in the digital and innovation sector. Located at a former military camp that was used by the German armed forces as part of the NATO mission KFOR, the park is now being transformed for civilian use after the last military personnel left in 2018. As part of our research project, we investigated the spatial potentials of the ITP. We explored how the sustainable transformation of the park will foster the innovation ecosystem in the future, and we asked ourselves what steps are needed to open the park to the city of Prizren and its great number of civic actors. My name is Christian Graufogel. I'm the coordinator of the project Sustainability, Entrepreneurship and Global Digital Transformation. Follow me to the city of Prizren to explore the intersection of digitalization and urban design. I spoke with Simon Flüth, the head of the GIZ Digital Transformation Center in Kosovo, which is located at the Innovation and Training Park, about his perspective on the connections between spatial development and digitalization at the ITP.
So the ITP itself, of course, is quite a lot about spatial development and what the physics of things. So it is about creating proximity between complementary partners who can benefit from one another. The Digital Transformation Center as such would not necessarily depend on that physical element, but it can make use of it. So it's just providing another level or another form of opportunities to meet informally, to engage, to have fun from all this, let's say, people who could benefit from one another. So you could find your next client, your next partner, your next colleague, and you can, let's say, come to ideas you would not have by sitting in let's say, your garage, maybe. So it's kind of one element of this spatial perspective is just also in the digital world, people are social animals, and you can do a lot with meetings like the one we are having here. You can do a lot with engagement over social media, in future more and more surely over things like metaverse. But the physical meetings will always play a certain role in steering creativity, especially between unusual, let's say, people to collaborate. So especially if you're bridging, let's say, non-ICT and ICT companies, academia and private sector, mixing public in that and so on. So that's kind of a big thing of that is just, you know, creating this proximity to have a easier formation of networks and exchange here.
I also wanted to know from Simon where he sees the challenges in transforming a former military camp into a civilian innovation park.
So you have partly the history as a topic, that it still is somehow associated with military times. Of course, also the building, the structure is not meant to be a science and technology park, it's meant to be a military camp. But I think that's more about, you know, making a nice story out of that, what you can do. You know, you're coming from a place which was built because of a war and the aftermath of that war, and now it's turning into, okay, we don't need that anymore. We dedicate it to development, which is kind of a positive story in itself. I think the challenges are more like whatever you would turn into an innovation park, you have, let's say, endless amount of ideas. Everybody knows how to how to do it and what is most important to do. You have high hopes, high expectations, because it's kind of presented as a motor or driver of change and positive development, which is good because it should be present in the plan. That's what it is. But it, there's also you have to be clear that there you have to prioritize. You have it's a lot about doing the right things in the right time, and you cannot do everything at once. You have to be a little bit patient because it is a development over time. You have a lot of chicken egg problems, how I would call them. So what comes first, the restaurant or the customer, the training provider who is, let's say, developing talent, or the IT company hiring the talent? Both say, but without the other, I don't want to be here, let's say. That kind of, you have to create this kind of critical mass and some success stories and some magnets in order for it to really roll. And this is kind of what the biggest challenge is, I would say, to come to this critical mass when everybody, because the idea everybody likes, it's just about being one of the first movers and developing the idea together with the team.
As Simon pointed out, it is essential to bring people physically together in order to create unusual collaborations which would normally not occur, and therefore create new innovation ecosystems. However, as he points out, there's still a lot of challenges ahead transforming the former military site into an innovation park. I wanted to learn more about the actual physical development and planning of the ITP, and therefore talked with Rodina Kirimi, who is a trained architect and works for the planning and development of the ITP.
Welcome, Rodina. It's great to have you on this podcast. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Christian, and thanks for having me.
So, to start with, what is your role as an architect and planner at the ITP? What do you actually do for the development of the ITP?
Because like when you think of a park, you think that does the park need an architect? but like taking the ITP, it's quite a big area. It comprises of 40 hectares. So it is very well positioned. It is adjacent to the city of Prizren, which is a beautiful city in Kosovo. And it has access to the national highway that connects Kosovo with Albania. So it's like positioned in the southern municipality in Kosovo. So the park has been used as a military camp for 20 years, which is like really something interesting that a military camp is being turned into innovation and training park. So my role as an architect and as a planner, it's to take care of the overall physical development of the park, while also being the local focal point for the municipal administration, who's responsible for issuing the building permits in case there are planned new developments. So, but also at the same time, the connections of the park and interconnections and interaction with the city and other access points with the city. So the park, as it is, it's being like we're having many plans for its regeneration, and also we're working on the adaptive reuse of the existing buildings. So ITP has 15 buildings in total. So, and for us, it gives a chance to think about the potential of the existing buildings, which nowadays is a chance that you don't get very often. So basically, whenever there's an old building, you demolish it and you build a new one. And with ITP, this is totally a different case. So we're trying to adapt the existing buildings and give them the new purpose, and also the entire park. So, of course, in this task, I'm not on my own. I work together with the ITP project team, which is comprised of German and Kosovar experts, and also many other collaborators that are engaged in different processes within the park. Starting from Humboldt Institute, which we have had as a partner and helping us to develop its spatial development. But there were also consultants working in spatial development concept, local consultants. We had, we have consultants working and helping to keep the park green and sustainable. So working on the energy efficiency of the buildings, working on the renewable energy resources for the building. Now we're currently covering one of our main parking lots with the solar panels. So we're doing a project on keeping the rainwater within the park and using that for irrigation. In overall, like building transformation according to the tenants' needs and many other activities which are happening simultaneously these days.
Thank you very much. Really interesting. You just mentioned the transformation of existing building, which I think is currently a big discussion, especially in architecture and urban planning, not to just demolish buildings, but to reuse and readapt. And you also mentioned the sustainable transformation with solar panels and greenery. Mm-hmm. So beside the actual innovation and development of the park, what is the overall strategy and goal of the ITP, maybe also regarding sustainability? So what role plays actually the sustainability within the design of the park?
We're committed to become a sustainable a park. In the way that the buildings are currently in Kosovo, you have had like a big construction era since 1999 until now. So emerging phase for Kosovo. And I cannot say that everything is so sustainable, especially the way that our cities are developing are not very sustainable. So in this regard, we are trying to develop the park, those 40 hectares, very sustainable. The overall goal of the ITP is to become a regional hub for entrepreneurship, innovation, business skill development, and a source of innovative and successful ideas. So also when it comes to the development of the urban development, the transform, adaptive reuse of those buildings, we want to present some innovative ideas. So in this case, we are all the new developments are going to be developed based on the sustainable architecture principles. We have just done, we have concluded a project for the Ministry of Economy with one of our partner institutions that is based within ITP. They are going to build basically the second nearly zero energy building in Kosovo. within the park. So this is the main orientation for us. So everything that is going to be transformed and also newly built is going to be sustainable.
Great, thank you very much. So really becoming a front runner in the sustainable transformation, if I understand that correctly.
We're trying, yeah. But
that brings me actually to the next question. So to look a bit at the intersection of innovation and the spatial development, what do you think, how can the spatial development and the sustainable transformation actually enable innovation? Or what is the connection between the spatial development and the actual innovation ecosystem which you're creating in the park?
There is a strong linkage, and the spatial development and its sustainable transformation, of course, it's a tool for enabling the innovation. And as such, ITP as the area provides different context, I can say, but I think it's just the right context comparing to the conventional spaces and areas where companies can just rent a space and practice their own business. So in this case, ITP provides much more inclusive environment where, like, let's say, if I can say, a full-fledged ecosystem is enabled through its spatial context, because the park is quite big and it has room for all the, let's say, components that can enable innovation. So ITP, as now, it's a hub of different education institutions where students and graduates can make internships at the companies located here. So we have few companies that have already been settled in ITP, and then we have a big university that is focused on ICT and architecture that basically those students can have internship in there. Then we have creative industries that can collaborate with each other, and maybe they can also prototype their products maybe. And also there are big workshop areas in the park where, so basically there's a lot of space for activities in the park. So at the same time, we have a big training and a big conference center, like events venue, where the trainings and conference and other events that ITP hosts, but also our partners host, can serve as a networking and new opportunities for those located and other visitors in ITP. So last year, we have had a DevConf, one of the biggest conferences, and many other like ICT Gateway and different conferences and events that are especially targeted in the ICT sector, which is one of our main sectors that we would like to have in the park. So basically, ITP as such, it provides a perfect context, and it ties together all those silos and creates a thriving ecosystem, which enables growth for its partners. At the same time, ITP gives us the ability to see the potential of the existing buildings. And in this regard, it was very lucky that it has been managed by Bundeswehr, by the German army, for almost 20 years. So they have built the perfect infrastructure. And it has set a great foundation for the type of the development that we want to create. But at the same time, we also work together with the tenants to co-create the space together and have with them, and also for other stakeholders that maybe indirectly impact the development of ITP. So in this era that we live, it is the reality might change very often, and when the park is developed together with its stakeholders, then we can adapt more easily and more effectively to the environment. So, yes. Yeah.
It sounds like also big challenge ahead. I remember when I've been working with you together in Prizren in October, we were talking also about the question of joint spaces, of bringing actually these tenants and stakeholders together. So what do you think, what needs to be done on a really concrete spatial level in order to transform the ITP into a vibrant economic place? Because you mentioned it has been a military place for 20 years and now it's been adapted for a new use. So what do you think on a spatial level, what needs to be done actually to transform the ITP?
There are a lot of people working on this and we're working very hard to create a vibrant economic place from ITP. Apart from my role, which is mainly focused on the physical development, and I also, I think I elaborated that before, in order to create, to provide space and opportunity for further expansions for the businesses located in ITP, we work together with like client relations and all those my colleagues in the core ITP office. The concept of ITP is organized around the quadruple helix of innovation, which brings together actors from main pillars, and the same actors contribute with their knowledge to create innovation through like interactive processes. And those four main pillars of the from Helix come from a private sector, public sector, civil society, and academia. So I've mentioned a few before. And up to date, ITP has around like 30 tenants and partners that belong to the Quadruple Helix Group and mainly come from the sectors of ICT, creative industries, vocational education, and training and higher education. So there are projects and activities that are being developed and implemented simultaneously, such as like Digital Transformation Center, which has a lot of parallel activities dedicated to the development of the entire digital ecosystem. There are different training opportunities coming from our partners and developed together with our partners and tenants within the ITP. Formal education provided by the public and private universities. So we have two universities within the park. There are many opportunities to assess international markets enabled by us and our partners. There are different incubation programs which have been supported by ITP and Digital Transformation Center and implemented by our partners. And there are also different services that are tailored for ITP relevant stakeholders. So I think that this grasps what we're doing in order to create this.
Yeah, it's interesting. Shows really the intersection of the spatial aspect and the economic development. Great. Thank you very much. Really curious to follow this process over the next years and to see how the park will look like when I come next time. So thank you, Irina, for your time and for explaining me a bit the intersection of spatial development and innovation ecosystems. It was great to be here.
Thanks for having me, and looking forward to have you again in ITP.
So I'm currently on the way to the Lombardi Foundation in the city center of Prizren, where I'm going to meet with Ardis, the founder of this foundation. And I want to talk with him about the role of the cultural scene in the city of Prizren, and especially his take on the ITP and why he thinks the ITP can be such an important place for the city of Prizren, for its community, but also for the wider region. So I'm really curious to hear his opinion because he's really engaged in the cultural scene and the development of the city of Prizren. And to also look at innovation and the ITP from a different angle, more from the cultural perspective. So I'm really happy that he has time to meet me, and I'm looking forward to the conversation.
Well, I'm Aras, I'm from Prizren originally. Being from here, I always thought culture has an important place, not only in the past, but also in the future of the city. So I did my graduate studies in cultural policy and cultural management with a focus on participative governance of culture in the local level in Prizren. I returned here in 2015 to take on the establishment of Lombardi Foundation and the transformation of Lombardi Cinema from an abandoned and place at the risk of demolition and privatization into a contemporary local and international arts institution and research institution that is going to enter its renovation. Now, for the past years, we've been engaged in different processes, advocating for culture having a more important role in the sustainable development of the city of Prizren and the building process of the state of Kosovo. And we have a great experience of the cultural scene of organizing locally, building an international programs, but also very strong local, national and regional connections, which I think will all come handy as experiences to be integrated into the ecosystem of the ITP, which I think is an excellent opportunity for the future of the city.
Maybe we dive a bit deeper into the question, like what is the foundation of the great cultural network and ecosystem in Prizren? Because for a city of around 80,000, there's quite a lot of things going on. Lombardi, the Dokufest. What is the background of the cultural scene here?
Background is one, the strong history means that there were also many cultural practices and many, some institutions that were being built, and that development was stopped by the time of war and pre-war, and there was always a desire for more. And after the war, there were conditions to start something, and we were lucky enough to start with Dokufest, which set a new benchmark and level. It also attracted the attention of the important players and supported the development of cultural life, which primarily started with festivals or, later also biennials. But in our case, it was also about making culture day of part of everyday life, having physical spaces where to convene, to connect locally, to connect internationally, and sort of, build the deeper connections than the ones that you can do through, the festival anxiety and having mass visitors coming in town. So I think that is the foundation and the story of not only making festivities but also stopping the demolition of a cinema, building a public institution, and connecting the city with the world, where no sector of the economy or the society came close to what culture did for the city in the past 20 years.
Thank you. Yeah, really interesting. Talking about space, you mentioned the case of the Lombardi Cinema. Turning a bit more towards the case of the ITP, the Innovation and Training Park in Prizren, which is a huge resource of space in the city with around 50, almost 50 hectares. How do you see the role of the ITP in the city, especially connected to the cultural scene? Because the focus is it's an innovation and training park, but there are also a lot of cultural actors in the city. So how do you see the connection between this resource of space and the cultural ecosystem?
Well, I think I see both the space, but I also see the institution and the vision there. I don't see ITP only as a space. I see it as a process. I see it as a commitment of Kosovo and Germany to work together and develop this region. I see the also in terms of space, the most balanced relation of the built with the natural environment in percentage, and hopefully it's going to be even better in the future. I also see the possibility of learning, because we've innovated in culture all the time. We had to innovate. We didn't have cinemas. We built them in the river. We built them in the castle. We reclaimed there. We had no money, but we had big hearts and really pushed for doing things, even when there were no resources, no knowledge. We had never been to film festivals, but yet we built a film festival there. So yeah. I think in that sense, the power of community, of coming together, of being identified with the city and having strong roots in the city has helped a lot. And I think it will come handy to ITP as well. there is a great social, cultural, academic, and other international network that the culture sector has built across the years. I mean, we even had King Charles visit us. It's, you know, beyond, goes beyond the scene of culture, and I think it could be a great leverage to attract professionals who have a also emotional connection to this place and who believe in the community here and would like to invest in this community, because we had a lot of experts, a lot of professionals, a lot of scientists and artists who came even without projects, even without support, to help our own processes. And I think ITP has a potential to be a real gravitational point in that sense, if it kind of connects the dots and creates the right infrastructure and the right environment for attracting the right people for this.
So really having cultural actors as pioneers in yes. also attracting other people in the ecosystem.
Also, I mean, coming from the field of culture, you know, we're raised to be critical of culture as an industry. It comes from Adorno and it comes from the West, but here you didn't have that kind of development of culture. So I've started to grow more open to the idea of a more industrial, more macro development, let's say, of building certain industries. But of course, there is always this clash between the, you know, cultural and intrinsic values and then the economic values. And we're going to have to find a long-term vision that has a predictable business model, but that doesn't expect a return in the short run, to be able to really have culture beyond being a decorative element. And I think we have a lot to learn from the industry and from academia and from, you know, management field, let's say. Yeah. So to be able to scale up some of the things we've done, but then there is a lot that can be, you know, learned, because these organizations are also a manifestation of what, you know, locals can do.
Yeah. So really, really perceiving culture as the motor catalyst of driving yes. change, and not just like that.
Yes, and there are frameworks. There are frameworks for that. There is the United Cities and Local Governments Committee for Culture. It has proposed. It has Agenda 21 for culture, where culture is foreseen as the fourth pillar of sustainable development, to be integrated to the 2030 goals, to be integrated to sort of existing strategic development frameworks, and we can be pioneers in this region in that field. Prizren has the potential to run for European Capital of Culture 2030. Yeah. So you have a deadline of September 24 for that. So where is the mayor and where are the actors in preparing a strategy, preparing a bid, running for that? It might mean of investment of up to 100 million euros. So we need these kind of patterns, and we need to have an understanding of kind of multi-partisan support from local politics, but also a different attitude of the states who are used to do things top-down, to change the manner in which they do the thing. So when they demilitarize the camp, they demilitarize the governance of it, the openness of it, and the whole spirit of it. And then I think it has greater chance for success, because there is a need to have a larger community who is interested to share the risk of this. Yeah. If only two states share the risks, then it's going to be a state project forever. If you're going to expect only from the private sector to do it, it's either going to go south because of the content, or it's going to go south because of the economy. And if you know, it is a perfect possibility to have a multi-stakeholder participative structure of governance and development.
Yeah.
Because it's not only setting up a board or something, it's about building a practice.
So really having this kind of...
Yeah. And it is a very long-term approach. Thing, yeah. you know. Yeah. And people need to agree to try for at least 10 years and then see if it's worth it or not.
Yeah. You just mentioned it's really a long project. You just mentioned something where people have to invest in 10 years. So I would like to ask, what is your vision for the ITP in 10 years? What do you believe, or what do you wish for could be the innovation and training park in 10 years?
I think I wish, because I believe in it, that it becomes a place where we can do a transformation of culture of doing things. And that is for, you know, and it means innovation in governance, innovation in development, innovation in approach to, or new approach to the built environment, to climate, to what means research, learning, building capacities in 2020s and 2030s, which needs to also break from former models that are anyway coming in too late and are already redundant even before they arrive. Yeah. So I think if and we can show at ITP that you don't need to be very rich, very strong in many traditions to be able to tailor your own model of innovation and development that is speaking to the context and has an economic logic and gives hope to not only a city but to a whole society.
Really, really nice and interesting vision. So maybe let me finish with the last question. What would you like to do or change right away within the ITP? What would be like your first step if you can choose one thing? What do you think is the really most important first step to take now?
I think it's really important to decide who are the key stakeholders that are going to be part of the process in a sustained manner and to find the format together with them and also to set the parameters of the inclusion of others in the process and the communication of this so that there is a change of both spirit and content but also of the look outside look outlook of this process itself.
Building the community.
Yes, strengthening that, and I think that's why we're joining the ITP and moving in pretty soon. So
nice. Thank you very much for your time and for the interview, and looking forward to come back maybe next year or in 2 years and see how it's been developed. Thank you very much.
Looking forward, Christian.
In this episode, we learned about the different opportunities and challenges of transforming a former military camp into a space for innovation and digitalization. I'm impressed by the huge potential which lies in the development of the ITP and by the great cultural and civic scene in Brisbane. The city has a vibrant ecosystem driven by young entrepreneurs, initiatives and cultural actors who want to make change in their city and create long-term economic and social impact. Speaking with Rodina, Simon and Ares has also shown us how difficult it can be to bring different sectors together. However, this is crucial to create a diverse and inspiring environment for innovation to take place. The Innovation and Training Park is not only defined by its startups and educational programs, but also by its social and cultural significance for the local community. It will be certainly exciting to follow the evolution of this newly created space in the upcoming years.
This podcast is part of the project Sustainability, Entrepreneurship and Global Digital Transformation, SET. Since November 2021, our project team has been developing innovative research formats and dialogue events in exchange with local actors from academia, politics, business and civil society in 8 countries worldwide. The project is funded by the Deutsche Gesellschaft für internationale Zusammenarbeit, on behalf of the Federal Ministry for Economic Cooperation and Development. This podcast was edited by Marie Blümel, Christian Grauvogel, Moritz Timm and Ann-Christine Ziesemer. Scientific input by Stefan Bohn, Georg von Richthofen and Fabian Stefani. Sound and recording by Alexander Triebsees.